It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and we are very happy today to have special guest Sarah Kreiling, and we are going to talk today about the conversation of what it means to have community, partnership, and how maybe in some small towns across America, in some ways, we've gotten away from that, but there's still that remnant remaining bond to maybe bring it back again. Jeff, Sarah? Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What an intro. That was so good.
Well, thank you. And just for maybe the viewers who don't, you know, maybe know so much about you, where do you kind of come from and what got you interested in the idea of, hey, you know, community and community values really matter and make a difference?
Sure. So born and raised in Macomb, I've lived in Macomb my entire life. Probably what people knew me most for at the time when I was in school, I was very heavily involved in sports. So volleyball, basketball, track, all the way through. My parents encouraged that in me, you know, being involved. And I also was involved in student council, things like that. So just from an early age, I really liked to be involved in my school and my community. And my parents were also heavily involved. So I think that set an example. My mom was the organist and pianist at our church growing up.
Yeah.
Choir director. So
would you say through athletics you kind of started to see the sense of community?
Like, absolutely.
Hey, this is something the community kind of comes out, they support us in competition, and obviously 99.9% of people aren't going to be playing athletics beyond the high school level, right? So hopefully the idea of athletics is that you're not so much taking away so much athletic principles as you are life lessons?
Oh, 100%. And I went on to play college volleyball at Findlay, at the University of Findlay, but...
Oh, so you are a one percenter.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Watch out for you elites,
I don't know about that. It paid for my schooling, and I was, you know, as a kid, I didn't really appreciate that at the time. I don't think you really can grasp that as a teenager, you know, that you're
not
going to
have education and now have no debt
and you go to buy big person stuff after and you're like, oh, wow, like I don't have massive debt coming with me.
Of course.
But it's funny, after college volleyball was over, I really didn't care if I touched a volleyball again, to be honest. I was ready to move on to other things.
Sure.
I was getting married. I guess this will kind of segue a little bit into getting involved in the community. When I was in school, the Cookie Fest, I didn't really think twice about it. Like I was involved, but I never thought when I grow up, I'm going to really invest myself into the Cookie Fest and really get involved in the community. Like that wasn't.
Sure. And for those who don't know, that's just a small town festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one day I was just kind of like talking with my husband and kind of like, man, I'd really like to see some things change uptown. Uptown meaning Macomb, I guess country talk. Uptown. Like, I think I'm at a place in my life where I can start getting invested. And why not me? Why not now? Why not try to make a positive change? So I roped my Aunt Judy into it with me. I'm like, you're going to come with me to the first meeting, 2022. There were four of us there total. It was myself, my Aunt Judy, Dan Ritter, and Michelle Robles. And I thought, well, all right, we've got nowhere to go but up. There's four of us here, and
half's my family.
Yeah, half of it's my family. I didn't plan on being an officer the very first day, but if we want to keep this afloat, I need to become an officer. So I was vice president of the partnership on day one.
Look at that. You show up and get to be in charge.
Overachiever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Goodness.
Yeah, right.
That's what I gather. Are you like an A student and all that stuff all the way? Yeah, yeah.
I was not valedictorian.
That's
I was
okay.
not. No, no,
That's
no.
Okay.
I was a good, yeah, but yeah.
But
I,
you gave your
I've
best.
Always taken pride in my work and, oh, yeah.
And it turns out it led you somewhere positive. Who would have thunk it?
Right. Yes.
Who would have thunk it? Well, now you got to say what that was, though, because nobody else knows the inside joke of the parking. I pull in and I see that Sarah has parked right in the middle of the driveway. So I walk in and say, okay, so you're the youngest? And she goes, yeah. Like, how do you know? And because you didn't leave me a place to park.
Because I was selfish and I went right in the middle.
No, you just don't think that. Someone else probably fixed your messes.
Yeah.
She says, yes, how no. dare you?
I don't know.
How dare you?
I like that, though.
I got a little brother.
I like that
and
theory.
I'm the cleanup guy. So yeah. It's like, and it's not necessarily a literal mess, but do you call your siblings or others for advice? Or are you the one that gets called for advice?
Well,
well, that's not a fair question because of what you do.
Yeah.
Oh,
gotcha.
You did get me. You did get me. Who do you call when you need advice?
When I need advice, mm-hmm. I talk to my husband a lot, to be honest. I guess part of my, and I'll try not to get like emotional about it.
I'll cry. I'm not afraid.
No. I didn't want to go there.
That's what I'm for.
I know. Thanks a lot. I lost my mom in 2011.
Mm. Well, sorry to hear that first
yeah.
and foremost.
Yeah, thank you. When I was 22. So that was a pivotal time in my life when that happened. So typically I would have called her. I call my Aunt Judy a lot. Sip of my coffee. Pause. And I have a coworker I'm really close with. So that, I guess that goes into my wanting to be involved and wanting to change things too. Losing my mom was a big part of that.
Well, so is she like a person who brought about a lot of change that you admired and...
Oh, yeah. Well, people laugh. I feel like I'm a great mix of both my mom and my dad. My dad was a school superintendent growing up, like leader, like strong male role model, still is. And I'm talking about him like he's past tense. He is living. strong, very organized. My mom was very people person, very friendly, very relationship-based person. She was the one people like would come to and... like was just very nurturing.
So would it be fair to say your family embodied the classic principles of what built America?
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously. Like yeah. When you think about how they structured themselves, the things that they prioritized, and it sounds mm-hmm. like they encouraged you and your siblings to do, mm-hmm. sound like traditions and values that matter to the overall well-being of a country that is not just enjoyed by us presently, right? But it's going to be enjoyed by generations to come.
Oh, absolutely. I do not take it for granted that I was incredibly blessed growing up. I had a very solid family. Great. I mean, had the obvious massive speed bump of losing my mom, but our family still is strong. My relationship with my dad, I feel like, has strengthened since. Not that it was bad before, but you know, it's gotten better since. We've gotten closer.
So your mom and her passing, figuratively speaking, the mantle was then passed to you.
That's how I felt. I didn't see it at the time. Like it was, devastating, but yeah, I mean, I think about her and all these things that I do with the community and how she'd be so proud and my voice is shaky.
That just gave me goosebumps, though, so that's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks, Jeff. First the parking, now this.
And we're just getting started.
I know.
Man.
Yeah. Well, we got the heavy hitting just done right out of the way. I was like, we're not going to go
so
there.
So now it's all going to be easy.
There we go.
That's
it's
right.
It is a big part of what made me who I am.
It shaped
so,
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's cool, sir, about you, you sound like a person who I think very oftentimes you see, you know, it's easy to be a person who slips into these patterns of, well, somebody's got to do this, or what if this was different, or why can't this mm-hmm. be like that? And you said, you know, why can't I make this different? Why can't I be the change that I want to see, in essence? Man, what if we all did that?
Yeah. And it's been so nice. The group has grown so much, starting with four, and now I'd say we're at about 16 strong.
So in 3 years,
yeah.
You guys have grown by four times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's been wonderful, and it's so funny to see the evolution of some of the relationships. A couple of the people that are very active are my former teachers, Mrs. Deb Ewing. Tyler, I don't know if you remember Mrs. Mm-hmm. Ewing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Deb Ewing was my fifth grade teacher. Now I consider her like a friend. She's involved in the partnership. Rita Newcomer, also former teacher. Like, my relationship with her has changed. It's just Dan Ritter. I've known him my whole life. Grew up in the same church with him. Like, knew him just as Dan, the guy I go to church with, basically. And now we're, like, I'd consider him a friend, too. And we just work side by side on community projects. It's really cool.
So there's clearly a longing in the community for something to be different, or maybe for something to be restored. How do we really bring that? How do we bring that back? Not just to mm-hmm. this community specifically, but I think every small town across America in some way, shape, or form is dealing with the same issue.
And the philosophy that I've taken is controlling what we can control. You know, Better the Cookie Fest, start other community events like Hometown Christmas, which has been great the last 3 years. We've started a farmer's market, just things that'll bring the community together. That has been amazing to see. Just all generations coming together.
Togetherness is always betterness.
Yes. Mm. And I mean, we've had so many conversations with, you know, older generations that come through. They're like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen Macomb come alive like this in years. And it like brings tears to their eyes. And I'm not joking. Like, it was, we've just had so many wonderful interactions with people in town. And I think those interactions build momentum. You know, people are starting to realize, hey, I don't have to be involved in like the political side of things or on town council or whatever. Like, if I want to make a difference where I'm at, like, I can make a difference. And that's kind of like our, I think, mantra at the partnership too. Like, if you want to make a difference, you can. No matter
you don't
where
have
you
to
are.
Lead to be involved.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say is the end game? Like, what, barring any kind of fear of saying something that's going to be offensive, what are you trying to get to?
With the partnership? Mm-hmm. Well, something that we recently started was a scholarship for students at Macomb. So I guess the ultimate goal of the partnership, we're trying to raise money to reinvest in the town and the school. Our funding was so low. Like, the money that we were working with when I initially started was low, so that it wasn't even practical to think long-term or big. Oh, yeah. It wasn't even practical because we weren't working with much.
So you're thinking of, we started in 2022. How can we get to 2023 and still be here?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That is exactly what it was. Like, how can we keep this thing afloat, and can we keep it afloat? So now we're at a point where we're working with enough funds that we can, you know, have those discussions of, all right, is there a big project that we want to save for? You know, do we want to keep multiplying the amount of scholarships that we give? Like, we gave money to the school for technology last year. We invested in Little Panthers Learning Center with some money for their playground. So that's where all of our funding goes, is the town and the school. So your idea is
backyard impact, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Like, keep our money.
100% of the funding is going to improve this area right here that Macomb. You can invest in and you can see.
Yes, absolutely. And those conversations are ongoing. As far as, you know, we're still trying to figure out, like, is there something big that we want to collaborate with the village on or with someone on?
I just wish we could all get back to, in our communities, our churches being the idea of that, like, we are the church, right? And we come to meet at a building called a church, but we are the church.
Yeah.
And these partnerships would be exactly what you're doing. Like, this is what we should be doing at our churches, right? Local backyard impact. I'm not saying global impact doesn't matter. I'm not saying the world doesn't matter. But our home needs to be in order first before we can help anyone else's.
And there's so much need.
Yes, there is.
Here.
Yes, there is.
In our small towns. But yeah, and I think that's what's great about the partnership, too. We're constantly collaborating with organizations, people in the town. I think this is going to be the third year in a row the ladies at St. John's Lutheran are going to make cookies for us for Hometown Christmas for kids to decorate, which is amazing. The Methodist Church lets us use their bus to bus people from the school to the town to celebrate. So,
all right, Jeff, kick back to your question you were going to ask earlier.
What was I asking? That was just organic. I don't even know.
So you were asking me about small towns.
That's right. It was, so what changes have you seen since you were a child in Macomb? Yeah. What's been your big, like, what do you miss? What do you like?
Well, when I first got involved with the partnership, everyone talked about the pre-harvest fest. I don't know if you guys have heard about the lore of the pre-harvest festival. That was like the pre-cookie fest thing. No. That it was just like a big festival at the school. Long story short, I think people miss that
sense
of community. This was like back when my mom was in school. So probably like the 70s, like the 80s. But they would have a festival at the school. People would make, like, ladies would get their crock pots. Like, it was a community endeavor, community event. So I think
a big deal.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And I think that's something that we're trying to bring back, is that community feel. I think that kind of got lost, especially in the economic downturn there, like when Bennett's closed, and I think sure. Macomb just kind of lost, just trying to bring back that sense of community, because I think that's the small town appeal. I do know some people that have moved from Findlay to Macomb because they like the smaller town feel. Mm-hmm. Just bringing that sense of community back. I think there was more of that when I was young, and that's what we're trying to revive.
Yeah, sure. We call it the front porch community, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like I've only been here 6 years, but this is the closest I've seen of that since I was a child. And I grew up in Fort Myers, but I remember as a child, we didn't lock our front doors at night. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knew their neighbors. I could go knock on my neighbor's door and say, hey, I'm hungry, and they'd give me a sandwich. I mean, it was just, yeah. Try that today.
Can't do that anymore.
But no, that whole front porch community thing was lost, and neighbors began building taller fences, and most people don't know who their neighbors are today.
It's true.
And that's a U.S. issue, not just a Macomb issue.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Not knowing your neighbors.
Yeah. So what do you like? What changes have you seen that you're like, oh, this is great?
I think if we give the people something to support, they will support it. That's what I like. Like, when we have an initiative that we put together, the community gets behind it and supports it. The community is supportive. That's what I like.
Okay.
When we went for Hometown Christmas, the community supported it. They come out every year. The farmers market, also people are coming out. They just need something to support, and they will support it.
What do you think is the best way to get people out of the space of, hey, y'all come out to your free event and take advantage of your free offerings, and, you know, that sounds great, right? Come to your party, right? I'll be part of the party. Mm-hmm. But actually then apply themselves and take positive action that's creating, in turn, positive benefit. To where, like, hey, I'm not just a member of the party anymore. I'm now maybe bringing a crock pot.
Responsible mm-hmm. for outcome.
Or some fruit punch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where it's like a personal investment now.
Yeah. I think giving them a reason to be involved, giving them that sense of purpose, seeking them out. Like our group, I think a big part of our group is that people are taking ownership of different small projects. I think giving people something to stick their teeth into,
sure,
their passion, reignite their purpose. I mean, that's what I feel like has been a big part for me, is I feel like I've developed a whole new purpose in my life.
That's
being
great.
being involved with this. So I think just tapping into people's passions and igniting that for them.
How do you, and this isn't just for Macomb issues or vocational issues, just life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay positive with all the disappointments?
Oh, wow. I guess in my profession, so I haven't said, I'm a school counselor. I see a lot of hurt. I see a lot of trauma. I just continually feel blessed, even with the sad things that have happened in my life, with all the blessings that I have. Like, I have a beautiful family. I'm going to cry, but I just.
Are you trying to say God?
Yes. Like, I don't, I'm just very thankful. Yeah.
There's just a positivity that you take the blows, but you get right back up.
Yeah. I try. I definitely have my moments. I'm not going to lie.
Oh,
like, I
does.
Definitely am yeah. not. I probably come off as a positive Patty 99% of the time, but oh, don't
so,
be fooled.
So we got to schedule a next
Jason's at home saying,
yeah, Jason's like, oh, well, if you'd see her. Well, and I think, of course, I'm blessed with an amazing husband who, like I said, he is so good at keeping me just level. I have my
so he's a stabilizer.
Oh my gosh, I have such flighty moments of just like, you know, just something's really rocking my world. And
but is it fair to say it kind of sounds like you guys have, based on the dynamics and structure of your relationship, you guys probably have a God-centered marriage?
Oh, absolutely.
You're willing to put yourself in the proper places as a woman and put him in the proper places as a man, and at the same time know that your role is no less valuable.
What did he say? He's like, I have, and he was joking, but he's like, yeah, I identify as Mrs. Sarah or Mr. Sarah Kryling, like during this Cookie Fest stuff. Like, he's so supportive.
Exactly.
He goes with all of my antics and levels me out when I need it. And by levels out, just talks me through my crazy moments. And that's, I don't take that.
But what's amazing is you guys are literally a shining example of like, hey, when you put marriage in the proper space, this is what it looks like. Like, you're out here thriving. You're doing wonderful things because you're supported by your husband in the right
way. Yes. And the amount of times he stays like, well, I'm off to a meeting and he's with the kiddos. I mean, we are a 50-50 marriage and I am blessed with that.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I mean, it makes all the difference, right?
For yes.
both perspective. I'm sure if he were here right now, he would say the same thing.
Which yes.
It makes him all the difference too, because then he isn't able, life is going to be just as equally miserable for him if you don't want to be 50-50 to him as he is to you.
100%. Yes.
You threw me into a thing. Like, I was talking to my wife this morning and I just thanked her for her strength, because as a public servant myself, a pastor, mm-hmm. everyone typically gets to see you when you're at your best, and you try and make sure that you carve out space to be in that good space. Our spouses, you know, if you are fortunate enough that you've A, chosen a great partner, and B, that they take seriously their partner role, like you just said, they become more than a stabilizer. They become a grounding place for you and keep you tethered.
Yes.
So that you don't get lost in those moments that you're in the fray, because mm-hmm. there's fights you take on mm-hmm. that are impossible.
Yes.
And sometimes you're just hanging on.
Yeah.
You're just hanging
yeah.
on.
Oh yeah.
And they hang on to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's literally yeah. the point I was trying to make. Like, you couldn't do what you're doing without yeah,
absolutely.
Melanie.
Yeah. No
supporting
way. There's
you,
no
right?
way. That's right. what I was telling her. There's just no way I could do what I do without you.
I wouldn't be me without my wife. Like, yeah. I mean, same thing. Man, if ever we could get people back to the space of acknowledgement, healthy relationships actually are possible. They can be had. You just got to give up some things that are unhealthy in order to make your relationship healthy again.
Well, the sad thing you see today is the vast majority of young couples that I counsel getting into marriage, they're more thinking about what they're going to get from the marriage than what they're going to give.
Mm.
And I have to completely shift that and flip it and say, look, first of all, half of marriages end in divorce. What I need to tell you is that almost all of them on the front end believe they will never get a divorce. They
or
don't
else they wouldn't
they,
be doing it
right. They don't walk in saying, I'm getting a divorce one day, but it's going to be a fun ride until then. Of the half that make it, and I ask them this, what percentage would you say are happy? And it's funny, they often, I think the first couple they think of is their parents. And they're going, wow, are my parents happy? Ugh. And they think about it. And the reason I bring it up to them is I say, what I've observed is about 10% of the 50% that stay married are actually thriving and are happy. I mean, like, celebratory. I love my spouse. I am so blessed to be in their life and them be in my life, as opposed to, yeah, I endure. I heard one guy say often, he said, you know, I've been married 50 years and 13 of those have been great.
Oh, it's so sad.
Isn't it?
It's like, so whoa. Sad.
Yeah, it really
but
it, is.
It's not uncommon.
Sure.
Oh,
and so my question to them is, why will you be in the top 10%? Why is your marriage going to be different? And that's the big thing, is that you've got to shift from what am I going to get to what am I going to give? Because if your love is always based upon what the other person is giving you, you're always playing the game of keeping score mm-hmm. as opposed to just saying, I'm going to give today. So actually, instead of saying it's going to be a 50-50, if you say, look, sometimes my spouse doesn't have the 50, they only have 20, so I'm going to give 80.
And
can you imagine how that
I
which,
only got 25
right.
instead of 50, so they're going to give 75.
We've all got our bad moments, and that's what we're talking about, is that person becomes your stabilizer, your tether. They ground you. And that's what we mean, is that they see you, they see you're short today, or this week, this month, this year, because there are seasons, and they say, I got you.
Sarah, I think you're already here, but if we all changed our mindsets from getting to giving and just applied that across the board in our relationships, in our careers, in our community involvement and interactions, what a better place, right?
That's what Jesus said. It's better to give than to receive, yeah.
A servitude mindset. But people think of, when you hear servant, it has such an ugly term to it. But whenever you do something good that really benefits somebody, don't you always feel like the best high or the best rush you've ever felt?
It's amazing.
Exactly. And it's not that nobody knows that, right? We just often, I think, fall short on maybe delivering.
I think we forget that, well, someone's got to pay the bill still. And we just don't think that we're the somebody.
Well, that's what I'm like, well, somebody needs to get involved. Somebody needs to make the change. I was like, well, that somebody's going to be this guy. Let's go. And doubling back one more time to the marriage point, my parents were such a great example of a solid marriage. And my dad stayed by my mom's side through chemo, through all of it. It was just solid, solid man. So just shout out to my dad.
Great job, Dad.
Great.
One of the real
great
ones.
Great example of a marriage.
That's great. Yeah. You got to see, hey, I know what a real, healthy, proper man looks like. So when I'm looking for one, I know how to find one.
Yes.
And then boom, look, just ironically, you landed one. Crazy.
One road over from where I grew up. And my daughter has a solid example for her future, and my son. So
it almost is like a generational thing or something.
You know it.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. And I think maybe in closing, Jeff, if you want to close us in prayer. And I think on our outro, I guess I would say the one thing we could take away from today is community really does and kind of always has made the difference. If you're waiting on someone else to always make the difference, eventually the difference will be made. But if you have zero say in the outcome, why complain about the difference?
Father, I thank you for these moments where we get to celebrate what you've done in our life, but also help us to realize what you want to do in the lives of others around us. And as we've been talking about community, and help us to all be that change, that person who is vulnerable and opens ourselves up, opens our door to others, invites them in, that they may see not only what love is, but who you are. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Direction, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm.
We don't believe what's on display. We cover the truth and look away. The mirror reflects, but we close our eyes, blind to the faces.
See it, the roads lead back to you.